Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
A 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Adam Carriker on The Ticket on this fine, phenomenal Tuesday lunch hour. As you know, every Monday and Friday I'm live right here, right now, noon to 1 p.m. Central Time. Grab your lunch, come join me. Hopefully, something intelligent comes out at some point, at least un poquito, a little teeny tiny bit, and you enjoy hearing some Husker sports and current events as well. Now, today's Tuesday, so we're going to be doing the Carriker Chronicles to close out this show. In about 10 to 15 minutes, I'm going to be joined. Actually, I recorded this interview yesterday, okay, with Alexis Markowski, one of the Nebraska women's basketball stars. She talks about the season to this point, the Big Ten tournament run, the great championship game on Sunday versus Iowa, okay, and the potential of what the Nebraska women's basketball team can do going into the NCAA tournament here in the near future. So tune in for that interview here in about 15 minutes. Then we'll close out today's show with another episode of the Carriker Chronicles. And then on Thursday, you got the Big Ten show. On Friday, noon to 1, you got former All-American Nebraska quarterback Steve Taylor dropping that knowledge. All right, and if you missed my interview with Kent Pavelka here yesterday on The Ticket, the legend himself, go check that out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's light this candle. There's been a few moves early on here in the NFL's offseason. All right, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers re-signed Baker Mayfield to a 3-year, $100 million deal, $50 million guaranteed. Not too bad for a guy who a year ago at this time just might have thought his NFL career was over. I've loved Baker Mayfield. I love it because he doesn't have a chip on his shoulder. He's got a whole forest. I can relate to that. I love it because he's been doubted several times throughout his career. I can relate to that. I love rooting for this guy, okay? So, he was waived by the Panthers on December 5th, 2022. Now, let's go back. Let's actually go back. Let's go back to the beginning of his college career. He walked on at Texas Tech, okay? Was a Big Ten freshman offensive player of the year, then left the Red Raiders due to what he said was a miscommunication with the coaching staff. Walks on again at the University of Oklahoma, earns a starting job. Okay, 3-time first-team All-Big 12 performer, 2-time Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year, and the first and only ever walk-on to win the Heisman Trophy. Number one overall pick in the 2018 NFL Draft by the Cleveland Browns on July 6th, okay, of 2022. They traded him to the Panthers for a conditional fifth-round pick. That's kind of a slap in the face and a Louisville slugger to the gonads, if we're being real. All right, after a 1-5 record, all right, he was released, all right, on December 5th, 2022, as I mentioned earlier, okay, and then picked up the very next day on December 6th, 2022, by the Rams. Now, I will say this. I've seen pictures of him his last year with the Panthers, and he's got his hand in the dirt on scout team as a defensive lineman. He goes from walk-on to Heisman, number one overall pick, released, traded. Now he's a scout team defensive lineman. Most people would have had a really hard time bouncing back from that. Okay, so again, December 6th, 2022, the Rams sign him. He plays some games with them. Okay, has a strong end to that season with the Rams, then signs with the Bucs the following offseason. Leads the Buccaneers this past NFL season to the NFC South Championship. A win in the first round of the NFL playoffs, the wild card round at home in their stadium, in their house. They beat the Eagles, beat them down 32-9. This was an Eagles team. I've talked about this before. That was 10-1 to start the season. Talk about falling off the frickin' edge of the world, okay? Maybe the world is square in their minds, and they fell right off the edge of it. Hopefully the Eagles bounce back next year. Now, his new contract. So he goes from walking on to Heisman to number one pick to released to traded to hand in the dirt, scout team defensive lineman to $100 million contract over 3 years with $50 million guaranteed. Ladies and gentlemen, I was at an event the other day, and an individual was talking, and a study was done. And they spent 2 years doing this study. What is the most common theme that successful people have? Okay. And the most common theme that successful people have, easy for me to say, isn't where they were born. It's not even how they were raised. It's not where they're from. It's not the school they went to. It's not how smart they are or are not. Not how talented they are or are not. Okay. G. This word starts with a G. Grit. Grit. Some people are born with a silver spoon in their mouth. I get it. Some people are born with the world on top of them, it feels like. I get it. But according to this 2-year-long in-depth study, the word grit was the number one common denominator among people who are successful. Not the only denominator, but the common denominator, most common. And it's the ability to bounce back from adversity. It's the ability to handle success without getting a big head, adapt to what's coming your way, and handle when life kicks you in the rear. Can you bounce back? Do you have grit? So my wife is not the biggest fan of Baker Mayfield. She likes Johnny Football, a.k.a. Johnny Manziel, even less. So we have a bit of a difference of opinion on Baker Mayfield. She's not the biggest fan, mostly because of some of his antics that he did in college, planting the flag up in Ohio State. I think he flipped the bird. Was it in Kansas or something like that? You know, and I'm, you know, whatever. The guy's got grit, and I can respect that. And there's certain things I can relate to when it comes along with him, too. Never won a Heisman, was not the number one overall pick, but just some of the adversity and things of that nature. My mom, on an unrelated note, is not a fan of Tom Brady at all. And again, that's a guy, I mean, you look at his pictures at the combine, at the NFL combine when he came out. My Lord, talk about unimpressive. You watch him run his 40. Oh my goodness, 6th round pick. Guy never should have been. Turns out to be the GOAT. And yes, I understand Spygate and Deflategate and all that stuff. You know what's interesting? I saw a side-by-side of him running a 40 about a year ago, in his mid-40s, versus when he came out in college and he was 22, he actually ran a faster 40 in his mid-40s. So two things. Number one, what were you not doing when you came out of college? Number two, what the hell have you been doing the past 20-plus years to actually get faster? Because that's amazing. So a little bit of both there. All right. Other quarterback news in the NFL. Russell Wilson signs with the Steelers. All right. Now, Russell came out and did an interview a couple weeks ago and basically talked about a little bit about what happened this past year with the Broncos. Basically, the Broncos said, we're going to release you if you don't sign or waive your injury clause in your contract, which is a ridiculous thing for a team to ask. Basically, they are saying, we're not going to accept any of the risk and you're going to accept it all because if you get hurt, you don't get your money. But if you get hurt, okay, but you don't release us out of this injury clause, and we have to pay you. Basically, what they agreed to, they were trying to get out of. It was dirty. And Russell Wilson did not agree to it. I guarantee, number one, because it's bad business. Number two, he said he didn't want to set a precedent. And he makes a good point. Once one player does it, other clubs are going to expect other players to do it. So it's a fair point. But then he talked about how after a couple of weeks, he walked in on a Monday. Sean Payton looks at him and goes, let's just kind of act like that never happened. You're starting this upcoming game versus the Bills with big time playoff implications on the line, which I'm going to be honest with you. I've been a big Sean Payton fan for a long time. That's dirty pool, man. I didn't like that at all. You're just going to act like it's nothing? No, you need to sit down and talk man to man, which apparently they never actually did as coach and quarterback. And if you watch Payton berate Russell Wilson, okay, an all-pro, a Super Bowl winning quarterback, multiple times last year, it felt disrespectful. It was disrespectful, but it was also business. If they could get Russell to do something stupid, they wouldn't have to pay him millions of dollars. If they could get him to waive his injury clause in his contract, they wouldn't have to pay him millions of dollars if there was any sort of injury or anything like that. They were probably trying to nudge him to do something he otherwise wouldn't have done, and Payton probably didn't care whether Russell was happy or not because of it. Just not cool. Not good business, honestly. And just not decent human behavior in this particular instance. So I'm still a fan of Sean Payton, but definitely not as much as I once was. All right, you look at the New England Patriots. trading Mac Jones to the Jaguars. They're going to. That's the plan anyway. It's just like the Steelers plan on signing Russell Wilson, okay, to the Jaguars for a sixth-round pick. Now, I have not kept up on Trevor Lawrence news. I assume he's still the Jacksonville Jaguars quarterback, so I assume they're trading Mac Jones there to be a backup to Trevor Lawrence. So you got two former first-round picks, two former national championship-winning quarterbacks in that quarterback room, one to be presumed the starter in Trevor Lawrence, one to be the backup in Mac Jones. It's interesting. Mac Jones won a national title at Alabama, and he set records, and he was the SEC Offensive Player of the Year during that season. Just being honest, I never saw it. I never quite understood why Belichick took him with the first round pick. And I mean that with all due respect, under God's hot sun. I mean, good grief. The dude won a national title. The dude was a first round pick. The dude started in the NFL for years, okay? He's still a young player. And you know Belichick and Saban coached together all the way back to their days with the Cleveland Browns in the mid-90s before the Browns went to Baltimore and became the Ravens. So they have history together. There's a trust and a respect between Saban and Belichick, and I guarantee Belichick asked Saban every question he could, and I guarantee Saban, because he's kind of a straight shooter, shot him perfectly straight. And so somewhere in there, Saban and Belichick both believe Mac Jones was a first-round pick. Personally, I didn't quite see it. And early on, Mac Jones showed some flashes, but I think if we're being honest, Belichick is a phenomenal coach. He's coming here this spring to do a coach's clinic. And that's going to be a great deal if you can go to it here at the University of Nebraska. Eight-time Super Bowl champ. Let me repeat that. Eight-time Super Bowl champ. But I think he was trying to find the next Tom Brady. Of course, everyone is all the time. That goes without saying. But I think Belichick built a team knowing that he had Tom Brady as his quarterback. And then when he didn't have Tom Brady as his quarterback anymore, he continued to build the Patriots the same way. The problem is, he didn't have Tom Brady as his quarterback anymore. So I don't even know if you can blame Mac Jones for that particular instance. Just when he was coming out, I thought he was more of a middle of the second round type quarterback, maybe third, you know, and he's still a young guy. Maybe he'll go Baker Mayfield, and maybe he'll end up signing a $100 million contract in a few years. I remember Mike Vick, number one overall pick to the Falcons, set the league on fire. Then he has the whole dog fighting scandal. I didn't know if he'd ever play football again. And then he gets back into the league, and then he earns another $100 million contract with the Eagles. And I remember it very well because I was in D.C. trying to chase his fast butt all over the place. Never did quite catch him. Came close, never could quite catch him. He did it twice. So maybe Mac Jones will get another opportunity, and he'll do some big things in his career. I'm certainly rooting for him. All right, now you go to South Carolina, the number one women's basketball team in the country, undefeated. All right, this past weekend played LSU in the SEC championship game for the SEC Women's Basketball Championship game. Now, the headline is not that South Carolina is the favorite to win the national championship. It's not that they beat Angel Reese and LSU 79-72. LSU was the number two seed in the SEC tournament. It's not that they beat them to win the SEC title. Talking about South Carolina, it's the fact, and by the way, this is their eighth SEC tournament championship for the Gamecocks. It's the fight in the fourth quarter at midcourt. And basically, one of the LSU girls is walking by a bunch of the South Carolina girls, kind of throws a little bit of an elbow, and then another South Carolina girl walks up to the LSU girl and flat out shoves her on the ground. And before you know, it's a massive humanity kind of going at it. And then one of the brothers of one of the players came flying out of the stands over the scorer's table and got in the middle of everything. I would advise not doing that, as much as your instincts might want you to protect your sister. That's not smart. But what's interesting is several players were ejected. And now I'm curious to see how this affects the NCAA tournament run that the South Carolina is trying to make. LSU too, but South Carolina had more players suspended. How many of them are going to be gone for the initial NCAA tournament run? And maybe a one seed versus a 16 because the Gamecocks will be the number one seed. Maybe it won't matter for them. But I should mention that one of the South Carolina players who actually ended up getting her hair pulled pretty bad in this fight actually apologized. So I will give her credit for that. And the last thing I got before we hit into to Alexis's interview, before we hit the Character Chronicles, again, check out Kent Pavelka's interview from yesterday if you missed it. There's going to be a first-of-its-kind men's college basketball tournament launching next fall with up to $2 million in name, image, and likeness deals to participate in to these teams to participate in these games. The tournament, dubbed Players Era, will host 8 teams this fall at the MGM Arena in Las Vegas and 16 teams in 2025, 8 next year. This event will be operated. Okay, nobody really cares about all that. All right. blah, 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 blah. The tournament operator is guaranteed the sponsors and other tournament partners will offer each school a total of $1 million in NIL money for participating. There will also be funneled to collective boosters or other NIL entities, and the coaches and teams will be able to distribute that money however they see fit as long as the money goes to current players. The winning team will be eligible to earn another $1 million to be distributed the same way. So a guarantee of $1 million per 8 teams this fall, a guarantee of $1 million for the 16 teams in 2025, and a potential of winning up and earning up to $2 million. According to the sources with knowledge of the situation, tournament organizations are in discussions with Alabama, Duke, Florida Atlantic, Houston, Kansas, Oregon, San Diego State, St. John's, Syracuse, and Virginia to participate. Each team will receive free travel, lodging, and meals during the event. You're going to start to see more things, more and more like this when it comes to NCAA college basketball. It wouldn't surprise me if they try to find a way to do something. Tournaments are hard in football, but something like this in football, maybe an SEC Big Ten Challenge like they do in basketball. All right, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned. Next up, my interview with Alexis Markowski and the Character Chronicles. Don't go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply in-app only.